this morning. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Peter. We have about three messages left in 2 Peter. I know you're looking forward to moving on to something different, but you know the great thing about going through books of the Bible is we have a tendency to learn them just a little bit better. And so that's why I enjoy doing that so much. But 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9 this morning. We want to talk about personality. We all have personalities, don't we? Our personalities are all just a little bit different from one another's, though. Now, we'll have some similarities, I'm sure. Some of you think maybe a little bit the way I do, and the rest of you are thinking, oh my goodness, what are you thinking? Some of you, you get along with certain people better than you do others. The reason is because your personalities are a little bit similar. And you make friends with those people typically who your personalities are similar. Now, I'm not saying that they're completely alike, but they're similar. Some of you think on the left side of your brain. Some of you think on the right side of your brain. You're thinking, well, preacher, what is the difference? Well, those of you who think on one side of your brain or the other, if you think mostly on the left side of your brain, then you're one of those individuals who's a little bit more cognitive when it comes to books. You're a little bit more intelligent when it comes to you studying something, you get it just like that. Those on the right side of the brain, I'm a right side thinker. We're the ones who actually can see the big picture before the details are worked out in the middle. And so the great thing about personality is we all really have to work together to accomplish the tasks that God has already preordained that we should work in. And you know, God's word in Ephesians talks about those works that God has preordained. He's prepared us to walk in those specific activities that God has called you to. And so let me ask you a question as we talk about personality profile just a little bit. How many of you have ever thought about God's personality? You ever thought about God's personality traits? You ever thought about how God thinks things through? Do you think God is one of these individuals that sees the big picture? Do you think God is one of these individuals who can just pick up a book and he just gets it as he reads it? What do you think about God? What do you think about God's personality? Well, this morning we're going to share some specific traits about God's personality. And I hope you get it as we talk about God's personality profile. Four things specifically this morning that I want to share with you. And let me say this, that as we talk about God's personality profile this morning, understand that in no way am I giving you an exhaustive list of what God's personality traits are. They can't be contained in a book. You understand that, amen? This morning I want to share four with you specifically. And so with that, I want to ask that you would honor God by standing at the reading of His Word. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, today, Lord, we just want to thank You that You have created each of us with specific characteristics, with a specific personality traits. And Lord, as we begin to think about Your personality traits this morning, I want to thank You that each of us has just a little bit of Your personality trait. And this morning, as we look into Your Word, as we begin to study what just a few of Your personality traits are, I pray that You would help us to realize how wonderful a God You are, how loving and kind and compassionate a God You are. But Lord, also that as we look into Your infallible Word, that we would realize that You're also a God who is just in every decision that You make. And so, Father, I pray this morning that there would be conviction where conviction is needed. Lord, there would be comfort where comfort is needed. And that You would just speak to us, blessing us with wisdom and understanding in that knowledge of You. I ask this morning in Jesus' name, amen. So this morning I want to share with you four personality traits. I think these are very important when it comes to you understanding just exactly who God is. I know a lot of times when God is moving us, drawing us toward Him, especially when we first begin to entertain that there is a God, and God begins to lay some things on our heart and He begins to draw our attention to Him, we begin to have those aha moments with God, and we realize, yeah, there really must be a God, because the flowers can't happen by themselves. Their colors can't be so many without there being a God that created each one of those colors. That there couldn't be so many different species of trees without God having created those different species of trees. And then just look at all the diversity in this room this morning. God must be real, because He made you just the way you are. And not only is He real, but He also must be a very loving God, because He made you special. And then all the different varieties of animals in the world. And you just begin to see that there really is a God. You begin to have that understanding, and God begins to deal with you about it, even as you look at the beauty and the intricacies of some of His creations. God's dealing with you. And then someone shares with you about Jesus, and you want to investigate just a little bit more, right? Because you don't want to just jump too quickly into believing in just any God that someone presents to you. And you begin to think things through. You look at all the other gods, and there's something special. Something continues to draw you back to the God of the Bible. Something continues to draw you back to the God of the book of Genesis all the way through the book of Revelation. Something draws you back to the God that is found in, that you and I worship in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so God begins to deal with you concerning those things. And then there's that moment when you realize that God desires to save you and have a relationship with you through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so as we think about some of these personality traits, the first one that I submit to you this morning is this, that God is infinite. God is infinite. And so the Bible tells us, it says, with the Lord a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. 1,000 years is like one day. One day is like 1,000 years. And so with God, have an understanding that time really doesn't exist. And as you begin to understand that time really doesn't exist with God, it might be a little bit confusing for you. It could get confusing, couldn't it? So someone comes up to you, and a six-year-old parent, your six-year-old comes up to you, and they're beginning to question, and you want to answer the best of your ability. And so your six-year-old comes up to you and asks you, "Mom, Dad, I know that God created everything else, but who created God?" You're thinking, oh, I knew it was coming. I was just hoping it wouldn't come so soon. And you're trying to figure out how you're going to answer that. And it's really a difficult question to answer, isn't it? Who created God? Well, that's really not that difficult of the question, of a question at all. Because according to the Word of God, He always was. And so Psalms chapter 90 verse 2, it says this, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world. Do you hear the scripture? You hear what He's saying? Before anything else happened, before the mountains were formed, before the earth was created, before all of this took place, when you, before that chair that's holding you up was created, before the person sitting beside you was created, listen to what the scripture tells us, because He goes on and says, even from everlasting to everlasting, You are God. So what does that tell you? From everlasting to everlasting. Think about that and see the big picture. Go to your right side brain, your right lobe for just a moment and see this. See, from everlasting to everlasting, literally there has never been a time when God has not existed. Who created God? God needed no one to create Him, because He's infinite. He is an awesome God. And so understand that you and I are infinite. We're finite beings. We're not infinite, rather. I apologize. We are finite beings. There is a time and a place where we are born. There is a time and a place, according to Ecclesiastes, when we shall breathe our last. And then from the dust of the earth we were formed, back to the earth, back to the dust we go. And so there's a time created for all of us. And so time really means something to us, although with God, time doesn't mean a whole lot. I heard this story about this guy who was talking about God, and he asked this preacher, he went to him and he said, "I've got a question for you." And he said, "Sure." He went to God, rather. He didn't go to the preacher. And the man asked God, he said, "God, what is a million years to you? I would like to really know what a million years is to God. Wouldn't you? Try and fathom that. What's a million years to you?" And God was like, "Well, it's like a second. It's like a day. It's really not that much." And the guy goes on and says, "Okay, well, God, what's $1 million to you?" God doesn't miss a beat, and he says, "Well, it's like a penny. Really, not that significant. Not a whole lot." And he says, "Well, God, if $1 million is like a penny to you, would you let me borrow a penny?" And God said, "In a second." So as we talk about God, I want to try and describe three things quickly, very, very quickly, as we talk about God. And that's the omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence of God. Let's do this quickly, because this word omni, it means all. It means total. It means complete. And so when we talk about the omniscience, omnipotence, and omnipresence of God, understand this, that it's all God. It all belongs to God. And He has this. And so three things quickly. And number one is this, as we talk about the all, total, or completeness of God, what about the omnipresence of God? What does that mean, omnipresence? God is unlimited in His ability, unlimited in His ability to be anywhere or everywhere. Okay, He's unlimited in His ability to be anywhere and everywhere. Does that mean, preacher, that He can be here one moment and there the next? Well, yeah, if He chooses to do it like that, but that's not at all what that means. It means this, that God is here where I am. It means this, that God is there where you are. It means this, Anthony, that God is sitting right there with you as a Christ follower. It means that God is back there by the doors. It means that God is out there by the cars. It means that God is over by Burger King. It means that God is in the next town, the next street. In every, you understand that God is everywhere. Where is it that you can go to get away from God? Nowhere. You can't go to the depths of the ocean. You can't go to the highest mountain in the world. You can't go to another alternate universe. Understand that God, being its creator, you cannot get away from God. You can't do it. It's impossible to do, because God is omni. He's all. He's total. He's complete present. He's here. And He's not just here, like right here up on this stage. He's not just here, like right there sitting in that pew, that seat. But God fills this. He consumes this place. And so understand, we talk about the omnipresence of God, that He's all, He's everywhere. And what about this, the omnipotent God, omnipotence of God? It means that He's all powerful. When we think about this, we think that, you know, I can pick this up. Well, not well. I can pick that up, and so, but there's a limit. I can pick this one up, but yeah, I can't pick this one up. But do you think that God would have any problem picking this up? And it isn't just about this. This is just what we visualize. Power. Might. This is how we visualize it. There is a limit to our capacity to be able to do something. But with God, there is no limit to His capacity. There is no limit to His power. As a matter of fact, the worlds were formed by the word of His mouth. That's the omnipotence of God. He spoke it into existence. He called it to be exactly what it is. And then, by the word of His power, it's held together. So who holds the worlds in place? Who allows the birds to fall from the sky? Who allowed the stars to be where they are and then to fall when they do? God does. Who holds the sun to rotate as it does? Or the earth to spin on its axis the way it does? God is involved in all of that. You and I can't do that, but God can. God is able. God is capable. There's no limit to the power of God. It's all. It's total. It's complete. The power of God. My power is very limited. Not just in strength, but in any area of life, my power is limited. But God's is unlimited. Can you tap into that in your mind? Can you understand that? Can you get that? That God is omnipotent. That he's omnipresent, but also, listen to this, he's omniscient. Well, he's all, he's total, he's complete in his knowledge. I'm not good with math. I struggle with numbers and letters being combined, and I don't do well with it, and there's a limit to what I can do with math. 2 + 2 is still 4. 2 × 2, I'm not sure sometimes. I think it's still 4, but there's a limit to what I know. There's a limit to that. I'm not all knowing. But do you understand that there is absolutely nothing that God doesn't know? He knows your needs. He knows your hurts. He knows your desires. He knows my needs. He knows my hurts. He knows my desires. He knows the unbelievers' needs, hurts, and desires. He knows what the animals are thinking. He knows when the birds are going to fall from the sky. He knows how many hair on my head. He knows the color of my eyes. He knows the value of my heart. There's nothing that God does not know when it comes to me or when it comes to you or when it comes to anything. God knows how long it's going to take us to realize that there are no aliens other than me and you. I mean, unless he created them. And if he did, that's okay. You know why? Because he's God. But there's a limit to what we can know, but there's no limit to what God can know. And so as we talk about God being infinite, understand, ultimately it just means that there is no limit to God. Amen? No limit. Second thing that I share with you this morning is that God is patient. I just, right there where you are, take a big sigh of relief. Do this. Go. God, listen, God is patient. Do this. Do it. You feel that relief? Think about God being patient. That's a blessing, isn't it, that God is patient? Miss Jerry, you have to work with me every day. I'm a blessed man because God's patient, aren't I? She's saying, yep, you're a blessed man because God is patient. It's amazing. We think about how wonderful a God we serve. Listen to what the Word of God says in chapter 3, verse 9. I'm sorry, the first part of it. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us. He's patient. He's long-suffering toward us. And I want to, listen, we're impatient people. I'm going to tell you, even if you think you're not an impatient person, I'm going to give you an example. When you come up to a red light and it's going through, it's yellow, but you're going to go on and stop because you don't want to run the yellow light that turns red, right? Because Tracy gets on to me about that all the time. It's fixing to turn red. So I have to... And I get stopped about halfway in the middle, and then I have to back up. And so this afternoon, this is what I want you to do. I want you to try this out. Talk about our impatience. Try it. When you come up to that red light and the light turns green, I want you to count 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi, 3 Mississippi, 4 Mississippi. See how long you count before the person behind you begins to honk the horn. And now let me share this. When they begin to honk, it's probably me. So I just try that. And then if it's you and you're trying that and you're the one who's behind the person, just know that it's somebody from church and don't honk at all. Play with their mind just a little bit. So you see that. I think in the flesh, we're just impatient people. We are. But I'm so thankful that God is patient. does not have a hair trigger finger or an explosive temper. Amen? And so the Word of God tells us in Psalms 145, verse 8, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. I know some of us, we get confused with God's patience and slowness. I'll give you an example. A lot of times people, they pray and they want to try it. You don't just try prayer. You either pray or you don't. But some people, they want to try prayer, and then they say that I've prayed about it. I've prayed about it. How many times have you prayed about it? Two times. God hasn't answered my prayer at all. God has not answered my prayer. Oh me, God's not answered my prayer. What am I going to do? Well, best thing to do is keep praying. But let me share this when you think about prayer. And then if somebody tells you that, kind of give you an illustration of how prayer works, you don't just pray two times and expect it to work and get that answer. Not always. But if someone were to come up to me and say, this feather pillow is the best pillow I've ever laid my head on. Feather pillow. Okay. And you go and you find two feathers and you put them under your head. Do you think that's going to work for you? It takes thousands of feathers in order to make this pillow soft and comfy underneath your head, doesn't it? It takes thousands of prayers before you can begin to realize and discern just how great a God we serve, how He answers prayers on His timing, because He has your very need in mind. God knows exactly what you need. And it's about God always being at work on your behalf. A single prayer is like a single feather underneath your head. It just doesn't accomplish a whole lot. And so you may be right now in the middle of some kind of despairing situation. And you're wanting to give up on God. And you ask, well, you're thinking God really doesn't care how I feel. But I want to share with you, according to the Word of God, Psalms 147, His understanding has no limit. He understands you right where you are. That's the thing about God's omniscience. He knows. You remember, He's not some far off, far distant God that's never experienced anything that you've experienced. He came down to earth in the flesh to experience everything that you have and that you do. God knows. And so His understanding, there's no limits to His understanding. But also, get this, when you think about God, well, but okay, there's no understanding what He knows, but He doesn't care. How many of you ever feel like God doesn't care? Because I got a scripture for you. God doesn't care. And so here you go, 1 Peter 5, verse 7. He says this, cast all your cares upon the Lord because He cares for you. How many of your cares can you take to God? How many? And it's about you deciding to do that. Take all your cares to Him because lay all your cares, cast all your cares on the Lord because He cares for you. And then you're thinking, well, He's just too busy to get involved with me. He doesn't want to get involved with me. But listen to this. Luke chapter 12, verse 6, it talks about God even knowing when one sparrow falls from the sky. Listen, if He attends the funeral of one sparrow, do not think that He doesn't desire to be involved in your life. God cares. God cares. God desires that you know that. But understand too that He's a patient God. And we're so blessed that our God is a patient God. Because if He were not a patient God, He would have given up on me a long, long time ago. If He were not a patient God, He would have given up on you a long, long time ago. Are you still here? Are you right now? You're here, right? Amen, preacher. How many of you, raise your hand if you don't have any problems in your life. Yeah, we all have issues, right? God cares. God cares. And it may be that you've not given God time when it comes to your prayer life. It may be that you've not given God time. But understand this also, even though God is patient, there's a limit to His patience. We'll talk about that in just a few minutes. The third thing that I submit to you this morning is this. God is loving. You know this. We talk about this, the attributes of God, the personality of God. A.W. Tozer has a book that's the attributes of God. Get it, read it. the immensity of God. I mean, the infinite God. He's a loving God. And just, you want to know some of the personality traits of God. A.W. Tozer. Get that book and read it. It's in our library here. And you can just follow up on some of these attributes. But God is a loving God. And here's what the Scripture says right here in verse 9. At the end of it, it says, not wishing that any should perish. Well, if God doesn't want anyone to perish, what does that say about Him? Not only is He patient, but that He's loving. God doesn't want anyone to perish. And then you and I have an understanding of perish that's completely contrary to what God means by perish. We just think that you die. And when you die, that's it. There's nothing else. There's no more to worry, no more burden, no more anything. It's not it. When God talks about perishing, He's talking about perishing from this life, but you perish to something. You perish to, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you perish to an eternal hellfire. And so I want you to understand, listen to what Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 3 says. It says, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I've drawn you. Talk just for a second a while ago about God drawing someone to Himself. Romans chapter 1 talks about there being absolutely no excuse for anyone that's ever been created to believe and know that there is a God. Why? How is that possible? Because we see it in God's creation. Listen, I don't care what kind of scientific mind you have, at some point you will realize there is a God. It may be, according to the Word of God, when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, but you will realize there is a God. And at that point, it'll be too late for you. Just want to throw that out there. And so, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. And so the Bible teaches that God is loving. And what this means is that God doesn't want anyone to perish. God doesn't want you to perish into that, the Bible calls hell. He doesn't want you to perish into that. As a matter of fact, listen to what Matthew 25 verse 41 says concerning hell. He says this, that it's prepared for the devil and his angels. It's not prepared for you. He doesn't want you to perish. Is prepared for the devil and his angels. But if you don't choose Christ as your Lord and Savior, hell is where you end up, even though it wasn't created for you. It's where you go when Jesus isn't your Lord. And so I want you to understand that God is a loving, loving God, and He desires that relationship with you, that personal relationship with you that is involved. Not that relationship that you know Him at a distance. Not like you know President Obama. But like you know your wife or your child or your mother or your father. That's how God desires that relationship with you to be, to exist in such a relationship where you understand Him and He understands you. It's what God wants. Listen, God's loving. How do you know, preacher? Well, listen, I know because I've experienced Him. I have a personal relationship with Him. I was destined for hell, and God saved me from that through my relationship with Jesus Christ. How do you know? But how do you know? Because He died on a cross that He didn't deserve for me, and He did it willingly. He died on a cross that He didn't deserve because of you, and He did that willingly. He didn't have to be talked into it. He didn't have to be drugged. He didn't have to be persuaded. He did it because of you. He was thinking about you. He was concerned for you. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 5 says this. For this is a good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He didn't make it difficult either, did he, Brad? one God, one mediator, the man Christ Jesus. How does God love you? How? He sent his son, his only son, to an old rugged cross on your behalf. Do you think that's not love? That's eternal love. God doesn't desire that any should perish. But then the last thing that I submit to you this morning is this. Understand this, that God is just. God is just. Not wanting anyone to perish, but that everyone should come to repentance. But he's just. Now, I'm not talking about just in terms of an adverb like, I'm just about finished with my message. I'm talking about just when it comes to an adjective, and that is that God is just in his actions. And one thing God cannot stand is sin. That's it. That's the reason we know that he's a loving God. If you got the scroll article this week, you understand as you got that, or maybe you read what I put on Facebook, the name Methuselah, it means, Meth means dead or death, and Shalek, which is the last part of Methuselah, it means to bring something forth. And when you combine those two words, Methuselah, what it means is that God brought something forth, i.e. the flood, because of sin. But do you know how old Methuselah was? How many of you know? How old was he? Just say it. 969 years old. 969 years old. You can go to Genesis and you can look it up and you can follow along and you can, as it talks about Lamech, as it talks about Enoch, Enoch being his father, his father walked with God and then he wasn't. And then it begins to talk about Methuselah just a little bit there, and he's living, he's having children, and as he begins to have children, he has Noah. And then there's a time where it talks about how old he was when Noah was born. It talks about how old he was when... For almost 1,000 years, repentance was preached. For almost 1,000 years on the earth, repentance was preached. And then get this, how long did it take Noah to build the ark? 120 years. So there was another righteous man who was preaching repentance, and then they could see. People would ask him, you have to be able to see this. You have to know. And not everyone went by thought he was just a complete buffoon because he was building a boat this huge in the middle of dry land. And so some would come by and they would just probably be a little bit concerned, maybe thinking that he was going to borrow someone's bulldozer and hook it up to it and pull it to the ocean before, you know, he got it finished. I don't know, but some people would ask, and they would probably ask with real concern. And then there was probably just a little bit of conviction, but it wasn't enough conviction to cause them to accept the salvation that would come through the boat. So they just didn't get on it. But for almost 1,000 years, listen. And then the Jewish Talmud actually suggests that Methuselah died somewhere around 7 days before the flood actually began. It's amazing when you do some research and you begin to see all of these things. Listen, God is a God of just, but he will judge. And I want you to know that, and I want you to get that when it comes to God being a God who judges. And God's law has no loopholes. You understand that, right? Listen to what Romans chapter 2, verse 3 and 4 say. It says, "And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God?" It's a rhetorical question. God knows the answer to it. Do you think... you being an individual who judges someone about the sins they're living in, but you're doing the same thing that they're doing, do you think that you are going to go unjudged or unpunished? That's what the question is. And then, or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that God is a just God, but I'm also so thankful that He's patient and long-suffering. Amen? I'm so thankful that He's that. And so God being just means this, that this is just the plain in-your-face meaning when it comes to God's personality. Are you ready? God will not excuse you if you do not repent. He's not going to excuse you. There is a limit to His patience. And it's up to you when, if you're going to trust Him, if you're going to accept Him as your personal Lord and Savior. But you have to do it before it's too late, because there is a limit. There is a limit to your life. We're not infinite the way God is. We breathe one moment, we breathe our last the next. But what I know of God is that there is a way that seems right to man, but in the end it leads to destruction, it leads to death. So what I know of man is that what we see to be good in our eyes, when you match that up to what God sees it as, it's not good. And so this morning, I don't know where you are in your relationship with God, but I'm telling you, as we talk about God's personality traits, listen, God is infinite. Never a time when God has not been. God is patient. He has been patient with you, a sinner, to this point in your life. He's loving. He sent His own Son to die on the cross because He was thinking of you and how you could have a relationship with Him, how you could come to heaven. And then we're going to cap it with this. He's just. If there's a limit to anything that God has, it's His patience. Because there is a point where He has to draw the line and He has to say, okay, this is it right here. And so today you're here. You don't know if God's going to give you another day. But He's given you this moment. So today, are you going to repent? I don't know what you need to repent of. God knows. But are you going to repent? Or are you going to go to God and are you going to acknowledge that you understand you've missed the mark? That's what sin is. Missing the mark. You've fallen short of the glory of God. You've fallen short. You've done something that God doesn't approve of. Maybe you're living in that lifestyle. I don't know. But understand that God is infinite. He's patient. He's loving. But He's also just. And today, this infinite God, this patient God, this loving God wants to reward you with your decision to trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Today, He desires to give you an eternal home. Today, He desires to make your forever beautiful. So today you're here and you've never trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Maybe, prayerfully, hopefully, today is the day of salvation. Maybe today is that moment where you see the personality of God just on a very small level. And you realize, when you think about your own personality traits, that they don't match up the way you'd like for them to. But the most important thing, you're here today and you realize that you're lost. And if you were to die today, that you're going to hell without Jesus. Today, will you trust Jesus to be your Lord and Savior? I want to ask you to bow with me. I want to ask you to listen. And if God begins to deal with you, burden your heart, I just want to, I'm going to ask you, with every head bowed and every eyes closed, if you're here this morning, but you realize that you missed the mark with God, and today you want to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin and be your Lord and Savior, I want to ask you to lift your hand. I'm the only one that can see that. I want to ask you to just lift that up where I can see it this morning. Maybe you're ready to make that decision today. You want to ask Jesus to be your Lord. Lift your hand up so I can see it. All right. So maybe you're here today and you realize that you've just not been in that right relationship with God. And you realize that God is patient, God is kind, and God is loving, and that today God is drawing you, the prodigal child. He's drawing you back home. Today, will you come back home? Father in heaven, thank you for this day and your blessings. Father, I lift these up to you as you deal with them, Lord, as you deal with us, as you even deal with me concerning just who I am. Father, I ask that you would burden us in such a way that we would seek your face. Lord, that we would acknowledge our faults to you. And Lord, that you would save us from our sin and self. Father, I ask these things today in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand this morning? You come.
I've won.